Now let us turn, please, in the Word of God to Genesis chapter 25. I must confess to you that until the end of the week, I was thinking of speaking more about Jacob. But since late yesterday, my mind has been turned to Esau. And God willing, next week, if the Lord wills, we'll think about Jacob. We read in these words that we have heard together and read together of the way Esau treated eternal things. And that's our subject this morning. The wrong treatment of eternal things. I wanted to speak about Jacob and the right way of meeting God. But let's think about Esau first. There are many illustrations here about our own life, a spiritual life. These people, the patriarchs and those of the Old Testament, they are used oftentimes in the New Testament as examples for good or for ill. People that we should imitate and we should learn from, or they're warnings to us. And here Esau is a very sad warning. He oftentimes reminds me of King Saul. So many blessings, so many privileges, so many opportunities, so many experiences of being so close and yet not know the Lord. Esau was the firstborn, as I'm sure many of you know. The firstborn, he was the eldest. Esau is an interesting man. He appears to be something, if you read his life, he appears to be something of an extrovert. He likes to be out. He likes to be doing things. He is very active in his life. He was a hunter. He loved to be in the field, he said to his father once. That's what he loved. He wants to be out there doing things. He's very energetic. He wants to hunt. Now, his family was a very wealthy man, a wealthy family. God had blessed him. What privileges we have. We're all wealthy in one sense. When we compare ourselves with most people in the world, we are so wealthy and blessed in so many ways. But what responsibilities the Lord puts upon us. This family was a wealthy family. God had blessed them. They possessed land. They had many animals. And yet Esau, you see, what I want you to see is that he wasn't happy to just stay with those things. He wanted to be out there. He wanted to make his own life. He was a hunter. We have from the record of the Bible that he was a very easygoing person. He did his own thing, it seems. He was very volatile. He changed very quickly. He possessed something of a temper that later on Jacob becomes quite afraid of him. He doesn't know how he'd react. And have you been around people like that? That you don't know what you say? How will they react to that thing that you want to challenge them about? He could have very strong feelings. He was a very impulsive man. But on the whole, he was easygoing. And there are some things that we see here that correspond to that. I presume he would have been quite likable. He seemed to be able to find a wife later on. If you were to read in chapter 28, you will find that he goes and very easily finds a wife. He is very likable. He has many friends in his life. He easily can meet people, talk to people. But the most significant thing about him in the biblical record is the way in which he sold his birthright. It uses a very strong language that he didn't just sell his birthright, but he despised his birthright. That's quite a serious thing. And so it is quite significant, and that is something that is not always apparent to people.
Esau was the oldest son.
This was Isaac's family. Now, this was a special family. You think about the background to this family, a special family blessed by God outwardly, but spiritually as well. The Lord speaks to Jacob later on, repeats what he had said to Abraham. See, God had promised Abraham that through him, all the nations of the earth would be blessed. And Abraham believed God, and Abraham's faith was the thing that he took hold of the promises of God, and God saved him. And he promised that through his family, there will be one born who will bless all the nations of the world. And of course, that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And God repeated the same promise to Jacob, as we read, that through his seed, all the nations of the world will be blessed. We could say at that point in time, the family of Abraham were the most important family on the face of the earth. God was with them and had been with them in a remarkable way. God had promised many things to them. Abraham had come to know the Lord by grace, and Sarah too. They had been given faith. And so they could talk to their children about the Lord. They could set examples before their children about the Lord and the things of life and what God intends for them in their life. They would have spoken about the promises of God. And certain things might have not been very clear to them. Certain things about the Lord may not exactly be as crystal clear as things are to us today. They didn't have the New Testament. But they knew that through their line, a Savior would be born. And so by trusting in that coming Savior, salvation would be experienced by them. And one day, in some distant future, the Lord would come. The second person of the Godhead, the Lord Jesus Christ. He would come and he would represent a sinful world, and he would die upon the cross for us, for our sins, and he would take our guilt away. And so through Abraham and through the various things that God said to that family and then to Jacob, we find the whole system of sacrifices that was all picturing the coming Savior, that blood must be shed for a sinner to be saved and to be forgiven. And that's still true in the sense that blood has been shed. Jesus Christ has died. And all who would trust in the Lord Jesus Christ would be forgiven of their sins, and they would be given a new heart. The issue Esau had, he had all of these pictures. He had all of the illustrations. He had all the privileges. And yet his heart wasn't converted. Now Jacob wasn't any better. Jacob, in one sense, you look at him and say, he's worse. He's called Jacob. That means a supplanter. He did everything wrong. He was deceiving. He was the bad boy in the family. And yet the Lord showed him mercy. That's grace. That is grace. He did not deserve the least of God's mercies. And God saved him yet still. But Esau hardened his heart and he despised spiritual things. He had become so bitter and he did not have high view of the Lord. And those are the things we want to think about this morning. And you ask yourself, where do I fit in all of these things? What does this have to do with me? And is God speaking to you this morning? Do you find yourself in Esau this morning? Is your heart, has it become cold and bitter, and you take the things of God lightly? Or are you on fire for God? You've come to know Him. You know your weaknesses, and yet you love Him. You seek to serve Him with all of your failings. You love Him with all your heart. You're motivated to serve Him out of love for Him. The Lord had given to them this plan of salvation. And the Lord had said through them, and through that message of salvation, so many will be blessed. And through Jesus Christ coming out of the seed of Abraham, we are blessed. That promise is fulfilled in so many of us here this morning. But now, let's think again of what we have read. This family was a unique family. They knew that they had been a blessed family. They knew that they were to preserve these teachings. And so Abraham was to teach his children, and his children were to teach their children. And God had said even that he knew that Abraham was going to raise his family right and pray for them and to teach them the right things. But it appears, sadly, that Esau, likable as he appeared to be, had no or very little respect for his family's belief. He had little or had no respect for what God had showed them and what God had revealed to them, what God had done for them. And he wasn't interested at all, it seems, in these things. Especially, it's a sin from his birthright. He was not interested in it. He was a likable man, but he was a very shallow man. Very flippant man. He would say things very easily. Things would roll off his tongue, as we'd say, very easily, without much thought. And that's what the way he converses with his brother. You can see the flippant way he comes out with things, talking about serious, eternal things in a flippant manner. So think about it. Think about the way he describes things. It says in verse 30, Esau said to Jacob, "Feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint." Therefore was his name called Edom. And then he says in verse 32, "Behold, I am at the point to die. And what profit shall this birthright do to me?" And so on. His language is telling us that his heart was not right with the Lord. He was just thinking about himself, material things, physical things. His hunger at that point in time. Now, if you skip a meal, will you die? If you don't have food, well, you might not be as strong maybe. You may be feeling weak maybe. But you won't die. You will be hungry. And here was a man who could get food later on, but he was just very hungry. And he would be happy with anything. He would eat anything. And we've all been in that situation of hunger. But that physical hunger was not a picture of a spiritual hunger. That's the thing. He wasn't hungry for the things of God. And friends, when you think about this, when you think about the way he disregarded his birthright and he just was happy to do away with it, when you think about it then for our own life and about this world, in this life, things that we do like to have, the things that we think we really need right now, things that we would like to achieve in life, but more infinitely important things. To use the more important things, spiritual things, eternal things, great things, things that are beyond this world, after we die, walking with God, knowing the Lord. Are those the things that are important for us? To experience and to learn of the Lord Jesus Christ. These things that so many of us would dismiss. We think that those are just too extreme. Maybe some here, some of you boys and girls, some of the adults maybe, you're just happy for a form of Christianity. The fact that you come to church and it's the right thing to do. And it is the right thing to do. But that's what holds you and you are happy enough with that. We're talking about more than that, friends. Not to have a shallow attitude as Esau had. Because that kind of a thing, that if it characterizes us, if we are not converted. And we find in ourselves great, amazing experiences that comes from knowing the Lord. Those of you who know the Lord, you've come to realize that, yes, you are not strong as you would like to be, you are not as faithful as you would want to be. You have many needs, but you've come to know the Lord. And there are experiences there that goes far beyond the experiences that you experienced before you were converted. To know that God hears you. What an experience that is. What a humbling thing that is. When you come to pray, it's so wonderful. God hears me. And I have proved the Lord again and again. Oh, it has not always turned out the way I have asked, but God has always intended to give me better than I had hoped for and prayed for. God is directing my path. God is walking with me. How privileged we are. That's what a converted person experiences and knows. That I'm not being moved by the things that I see around me. I'm not being carried along with those things. But I have a Heavenly Father who has promised to supply all of my needs. And I know that in our weaknesses sometimes we forget these things. We need to be reminded of these things. But essentially, ultimately, in the heart of the child of God, the Lord has done this amazing work. Well, Esau did not have that. And so all he could see was now. Here and now. The things that he saw, tasted, felt. And so he sold his birthright. When he came back from hunting one day, he was exhausted. And we will not underestimate his exhaustion. After such a hard work of hunting animals. But Jacob, who was much more of an indoor man, was brewing or boiling, it says sod pottage. That word sod means to boil, to be brewing, and pottage is a form of a stew or a soup, we could say. And he was cooking a meal. And it seems that Jacob was an expert in such things, in cooking things. And Esau said in little terms, basically, give me some of that red stuff. That's what he says. It says, and Jacob sought pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. He was feeling weak. He was feeling hungry. And Esau said to Jacob, feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage. Now, you can see that pottage is in italics, meaning that's a supplied word in our translation. He simply said, give me that red stuff. For I am faint. Therefore was his name called Edom. Edom simply means red. The same word. And so that's how he described. I'm starving. I am dying here. I am so faint here. Feed me, I pray thee. Later on he says, I'm at the point to die. These are, friends, words of someone who uses words freely and easily. He exaggerates things. Do we exaggerate things? He wasn't literally starving, but that is how he expresses himself. And Jacob instantly says, sell me this day thy birthright. That's a remarkable thing to say. And maybe you have read this and you think, why did Jacob speak like that? It's a very strange thing. Brothers don't speak like that. They're having a normal conversation. Esau is hungry, and Jacob's making a meal. Why does he bring the matter of birthright here? And really, you can see that Jacob, although that he was hardly a man of God at this time in his life, Jacob, obviously, he resented Esau's light attitude towards the spiritual things and toward God and most likely towards his family heritage and belief and the responsibility to be a representative of God and responsibility as an older brother. And so Jacob was irritated by Esau's persistent attitude, and he put it to this test, and many would say that what Jacob says it's actually a test. And it's like a question that we might say. He said this, you would sell your birthright for something as small as this, wouldn't you?
That's really what he's saying. He's giving a test for Esau. So it's more like a kind of test. Friends, we shouldn't look at these narratives in a simple way. There's more to it than what we see here. And we need to think through why certain expressions were used. And people would say, would you offer to buy somebody's birthright for a bowl of soup? That's how we would say. What a ridiculous thing it is. What a thing it is to say. But when you understand that Jacob was irritated at his superficiality and putting him to test, then of course it we understand it better. It is almost inevitable for him to ask such a question. And the reply that he has is this: I am at the point to die. What are you talking about, brother? I'm at the point to die. Can you not see? And of what use, of what help is this birthright of mine? What is it anyway? I don't believe in all of that stuff anyway. That was the reply of Esau. He fell for it entirely. He didn't take take these things at all seriously. He wasn't interested in what God had promised to his family and what would be his portion and the promises of God to the eldest son. You see, he's telling us he was a superficial man. And so the Bible says that Esau despised his birthright. When we neglect the things that God has blessed us with, the promises of God, and the fact that we have a Bible in our hands, if you were to compare yourself with someone who has no Bible, who has no access to anything spiritual, and you neglect it, in comparison, you're despising it. You have all the opportunities, and you leave it to one side. That's a form of despising and hating. And so he said to himself, I will sell my birthright. So what? It isn't worth anything at all to me. I will think about these things later. And he thought about it later. And he wept bitterly. He was very upset about it all. If you read on. But at the time he said, it's not worth anything to me. I'm at the point of death. I'm dying. I will sell it. I will patch these things up later. What good is it to me now? And the things that God promises are years away. My father is still alive. He's still well. And we have so much wealth. We can think about these things later on. Now I am hungry. Do you think like that at times? Young people? Boys and girls, do you sometimes think, well, Christianity and the things of God, and I appreciate some things. I am thankful that I'm in a Christian home, maybe. You might think that. I hope you are appreciative of that. I'm thankful that my parents pray for me. I can go and share things with them. But then, getting really serious about the spiritual things and coming to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, well, I can think about these things later on, down the line. And so you think shallowly about spiritual things, maybe. This man is going to talk to me about religion. My mother, my father will speak to me about Christian things, about heaven, about hell. But I'm just too young, you might think. I'm not interested in all of that. I've got other things to think about. As somebody said to me, in the open air, you don't have to worry about these things. You worry too much about eternal things. Put these things away and you would be happier. Well, my friends, the most happiest people are people who have come to know the Lord. Blessed is the man whose transgressions are forgiven, the scripture says. Happy is that man whose sin is now covered. But that was the attitude of Esau. And so many of us can identify with this. this kind of attitude. And so he was an outgoing man. He, even though his family was very blessed outwardly, he would go out, do his own thing, do his own hunting, find his own wife. Won't listen to anybody else. I will make my own life. I will make my own wealth. I will do my own thing. I don't need this birthright anyway. I don't need God's blessing anyway. I don't need the promises of God anyway. I will make my life. No one can tell me what to do. And we can say that. There are people who say that today. I can do without religion. I can do without God. I can go through life and I don't need God anyway. And yet, every day, every moment, they're breathing God's air. They're eating God's food. They're being blessed by God's keeping and protection and grace. Now think about this. And he was thinking bad thoughts about his brother. And Jacob won't rule me. Yes, I can just say and give him my birthright. Sell him my birthright. But he won't rule over me at all. I won't let him. That's the kind of attitude a man like that would have. And friends, that was the culture in those days, to that the firstborn would rule the household. That's part of the birthright, was that he would have control over the land and over the future, the inheritance and so on. So much of it would go to the firstborn man. And so he would rule the rest of the family. Everyone would look up to him. And the fact that he sold his birthright, he's saying, you won't rule me. I can just verbally say that you can have my birthright, but you can't have me. You won't rule over me. That's the attitude. And so he sells his birthright. He sold something, friends, that was precious. He didn't see it was precious. And my friends, when we think about spiritual things and you have a Bible and you have the preaching of the Word of God, how many of us think these are precious things? I love these things. I cherish these things. The Lord Jesus Christ, His name, I love that name. Do you think like that? He should have thought that this is a cherished thing. This is a lovely thing. God has been pleased that I was the firstborn. I am in privileged position. I would love to follow the Lord. That should be, have been his attitude. But no, he despised it. He cared not much of it. And so he sold something that was precious. And not just a physical thing he sold, spiritual things. He sold something with all the spiritual blessings of God for something that was of this earth. Momentary. Have you done that? Do you sell, as it were, let me apply some of these things to you, and also I'm applying it to myself. Do you sell, as it were, attention to God? You don't take much thought about the Lord. When you are in a place like this, not paying much attention, letting the time pass, and some of you might be even time watchers, and you think, well, now he's been half an hour. How long? How many more minutes will he do? Well, I won't be that long, I would say. But maybe you think like that. Thinking about salvation, well, that's something I don't know much about, you might say. Spiritual things, well, I like some spiritual things, but really, at this point in my life, I don't want to be too extreme and too serious about these things. And so in that sense, you sell it. You don't regard it highly. Do you, as it were, sell that for just here and now, enjoying certain things that would pass, and you banish from your mind serious things, things that will cost you. I think we can put ourselves in Esau's shoe. I can certainly, about the things that once I valued so highly. He spoke even of dying. What will this birthright do for me? I'm at the point of death. I'm ready to die. Death. He wasn't thinking about death. If he was really thinking about death and launching into the unknown and losing his life one day and having to face his creator of that world in judgment, well, That would have absorbed him somewhat. That would have humbled him, sobered him. He would have really thought seriously about these things. You talk to somebody who is dying. They are not being flippant. They are serious. They don't want people to come and laugh and joke with them. They won't call a minister who is joking all the time. No. But you see, everyone, or everything that he says, Esau says, he says it so lightly, so flippantly. He's not thinking about death. But he's just wanting to gratify himself for a moment. And so he sells his birthright. That birthright is a picture of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It speaks about the promises of God, what is to come, the blessings of God in the future, the privileges that he would have, the gospel privileges that we would have, salvation, a home in heaven. It was about the promise of the land as well. Now we have heavenly land, a heavenly kingdom. These are the things. Having peace with God, being part of the family. He was to rule over the family of God, as it were. And in the gospel promises, the Christian is united in the family of God. It's promises of eternity. In the New Testament, it says at one point in the letter to the Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 16, that not to be a profane person as Esau was. It refers to Esau as a profane person who sold his birthright. And that word profane is quite an interesting word. It means a threshold walker. I might have said this before to you. That word profane, it means a threshold walker. Now, what does that mean? It's a picture word, a picture language that is used. That it's a person who keeps, he can't sit still. Can you sit still? It's like a child who goes in and out. They won't stand at the door. They keep going out and then come in. They think of something else. They go out again and then they think of something else. They come back in. And you see, it's talking about somebody who at every temptation they move towards that thing. At every whim, at every desire, they would flip on and on, off, to gratify themselves. And that's a profane person who is unstable, who doesn't think about serious things, who's never stable about spiritual things. So the first thing that comes into his head, he sells his spiritual heritage and birthright next to nothing, just for a bowl of soup. He doesn't care. He doesn't respond to any temptation easily. His thoughts come in and out and changes his mind. Is there anyone like that? Many of us here, we can say, well, I am a little bit like that. I keep changing all the time, it seems. Like Esau, there's a lesson for us here. Don't be a threshold walker, a profane person. You don't find God like that. He will never find life and purpose and meaning and eternity like that, that kind of a person. And he later on, he wanted his birthright back, but it was too late. He thought, and a person can think about the wasted life and the opportunities that he had before. And he hated Jacob for that. He planned to murder him later on. But Jacob, as a young man, he was not so good either. And we will look at some things in future. But think about these things, friends. Think about what you have heard this morning. You think about that birthright. Now you are, we could say, you are in a position like Esau was. If you're children here in a Christian family, at least your dad maybe, your mom, you are Christians. You're being brought to church. You come, they pray for you. You read the Bible. These things, you can think, I'm privileged. I have people who pray for me. I have people who think about my eternal being and eternal good. And I have a Bible, and in it I find gospel promises about a heaven to gain, a hell to shun, about forgiveness of sins. These things are promised to me. It's like a birthright for my future, and for now as well. A home with God, but a new heart now. Salvation. These are the things that you can think of. These are my privileges. These are the promises that God gives me. Gospel promises. And what do I do with them? How do you treat these things? Do you find yourself, well, I'm more like an Esau here. I have not been thinking seriously about these things here. Let me read to you some words, and with this I will close. In Philippians chapter 3, in verses 18 and 19, again, some sobering words are used. And this is a picture of Esau here. He says, the apostle says in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 18, "For many walk, of whom I have told you often." So it is something, a warning that the apostle Paul would give often, regularly. "And now tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things." There are some things here that describes Esau. His God was his belly. He minded earthly things. Friends, this morning, the intention is this, that we would look away from all of these things. You might say, I am in that position of Esau right now. To look away and to look to the God of Abraham, Jehovah. Look to the Lord Jesus Christ who gives all the promises in the gospel. The promises of salvation for us. He says, I will give you a birthright. And that birthright is eternal. And within that birthright you have peace. You have pardon. You have the promises of salvation. But you have me. You have me. And my friends, take these things as precious things. Don't throw it away. Don't throw the opportunities that you have this morning away. Think what you have, what God has given to you and is offering to you and is preached to you. And think of the things that if you were to set them aside, will it really affect you? If the things of this world fade away, will it really affect you? Well, may God then help us and bless us to be changed from an Esau to be changed to a Christian. May the Lord then bless His word to us. Let us pray. Our gracious God, we thank Thee for the warning of Thy word. But we thank Thee that in this passage, we have also heard about a birthright. Lord, we confess that the things of the gospel are not our birthright. But we thank Thee that Jesus Christ has bought for us, poor sinners, a way to heaven. He has made that new and living way to know Thee. So Lord, may we each one examine ourselves by Thy word and seek better things, eternal things. We ask these things then through Christ our Savior. Amen.